on to serious business.
Or not so serious business.
Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll begin. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the evening, for life and health and strength, Lord, for today. And Lord, I pray you please that you would be with Esther and Karen, Stephen, and Pat and Steve especially at this time. We'd love to have them with us. We understand the situations, Lord. And I pray you'd be with them, of course with us as well. We're glad to have Frank with us on this last day before he heads back to England. And pray, Lord, you'd look after him as he travels. Please look after our brothers and sisters across the world. I pray you too for our leaders, Lord, for wisdom. I pray you, Lord, at every turn that you would contend with and hold back evil, wickedness. And I pray you, Lord, please, that you would bless those that are out and about doing your will. Lord, we need you. We really, really do need you day by day as these days grow darker and darker. And I pray you, Lord, that you would encourage and strengthen and comfort us and give us portions of wisdom and overcoming power. I pray you, Father, please. Not just ourselves, Lord. We're not forgetting Brother Stan and Brother Bissett and Brother Asquith and Brother Hain and Brother Seeley and Brother Fox and, oh Lord, the many men that have stood up to be counted in your name right the way across the world. Please, Lord, I pray you, please help each and every one of us. Father, please be one of our number. Please take this time to speak to us, to sit beside us, to put an arm around us, to comfort us and deliver us our needs this evening. And Father, we just pray your will be done in this service. And we ask it all in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's sing a song. Take the big hymn books, if you would, this evening and turn to hymn number 27. This is what it's all about. Hymn number 27, The Old Rugged Cross.
Pardon and sanctify me.
Stay in our big hymn books if you'd like to scoot nearly to the back to 437. We had a request for the Battle Hymn of the Republic, or Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. And you're going to need a bit of air whenever you sing this, so excuse me, not the company. Let's stand as we sing the Battle Hymn of the Republic. Norman, if you're fit, you come up and bring us the Bible reading.
The reading this evening is from Micah chapter 1. Courtesy of the guy that can speak Hebrew, who is not with us tonight. The word of the Lord that came to Micah, the Morakite, in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, king of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, all ye people, hearken, O earth, and all that heareth, and all that therein is, and let the Lord God be witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple. For behold, the Lord cometh forth out of his place, and will come down and tread upon the high places of the earth. And the mountains shall be molten under him, and the valleys shall be cleft as wax before the fire, and as the water that pour down a steep place. For the transgressions of Jacob is all this, and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the transgression of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? And what are the high places of Judah? Are they not Jerusalem? Therefore I will make Samaria as on a heap in the field, and as plantings of a vineyard. And I will pour down the stone thereof into the valleys, and I will discover the foundations thereof. And the graven images thereof shall be beaten to pieces, and all the hires thereof shall be burned with the fire. And all the idols thereof will I lay desolate. For she guarded of the hire of an harlot, and they shall return to the hire of an harlot. Therefore I will wail and howl, I will go stripped and naked, I will make a wailing like the dragons, and mournings as the isles. For her wound is incurable, for it is come unto Judah. He is come unto the gate of my people, even to Jerusalem. Declare ye not at Gath, weep ye not at all in the house of Abra. Roll thyself in the dust. Pass ye away your inhabitants of Saphir, having thy shame naked. The inhabitants of Zanaan came not forth in the morning of Bethesda. He shall receive of you his standing, for the inhabitants Maroth waited carefully for good, but evil came down from the Lord unto the gate of Jerusalem. O the inhabitants of Lachish, bind the chariots of swift beast. She is the beginning of the sin to the daughter of Zion, for the transgressions of Israel were found in thee. Therefore shalt thou give presents to Moresheth, the house of Ashib shall be a lie to the kings of Israel. Yet will I bring an heir unto thee, O inhabitants of Marishah. He shall come from Adullam, the glory of Israel. Make thee bald, and pull thee of thy delicate children. Enlarge thy baldness as the eagle, for they are gone into captivity from thee. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that. Appreciate that, and I'm sure we appreciate Steve giving you that as well. Amen. We'll get him reading Matthew. What is it, Matthew 1 or Luke 2 or whichever one has the lineage of the Lord, or way back in Genesis, some of those ones back there. Lord willing. Anyway, just on that point, Pat and Steve, send the regards. We thank everybody for their prayers and for their kind thoughts, and they would just like to let everybody know that they are thinking about them. And they appreciate your prayers, and they appreciate your fellowship and your company. So please don't forget them. I think Steve's legs are clearing up slowly. He has other health issues which complicate matters. He still has a very bad dose of postulating psoriasis on his feet, which means it's coming out in like big spots, boils, that sort of thing. It's not pleasant, and he has to walk on it too if he needs to do anything, so please do pray for him. I would also ask that you would continue to pray for each other, and don't be afraid to pray for the things that you need day by day. Don't even be afraid to pray for the things that you want. It doesn't take too long before you see whether what you want and what you need are the same thing or two different things whenever you're talking to God about them, because he has that way about him. But please do pray. Be much in prayer. I think the thing that's maybe most important, I don't know if anybody saw a clip of a man being arrested. I don't know if it was in the town or in County Derry, when he walked into a supermarket without a mask and was accosted and lifted by three big police officers. Well, two big police officers and a policewoman. So if you're going out, just be careful. And there's no point in aggravating them more than they already have been aggravated. What? Yep. Feel a bit the same way, Norman. Yeah, all you need is a bigger gang to sort them out, is that it? Or a bigger bruiser with a conductive vest. But please do pray for our country, for America, I'm including England, Scotland and Wales in your prayers for our country and our townsmen and our countrymen, for our brothers and sisters, not just here but across the world, for the church across the world, the free church, and that's normally the last bastion of standing against closing, has closed their doors this past week, and that is just not unlike them at all. So please do pray for all the churches. We are going to continue to operate. We are doing whatever it was that we did. Nobody's gotten sick, and if you keep doing what you're doing, you won't get sick, and we pray that you don't. Private prayer request. Does anybody have any private prayer requests that they'd like to make known? Link. Okay. Me. Stephen, Pat, do too. Norman. We're putting Esther down too. I'm sure she does. And we will, I think Will had his hand up on Sunday. So that's pretty much the whole crew. One last. Pardon? Sorry, I thought you were going to say something there. Please do pray for Monica's mom and dad. They found out that they have to replace the roof on their house as well. So not as expensive as doing it over here, I don't think, but still expensive. So pray for them. And one other thing too. It's nice to see Frank with us. Make sure you shake his hand, slap him on the back, whatever it is. Say whatever it is you need to say to him face to face. And wish him all the best, because we might not see him for a month or two. He's on his way back to London as of tomorrow morning, is it?
Afternoon.
From here?
Yeah.
Grand job. So please do pray for Frank as he travels and studies. Christy's still got a bit of studying to do. Please pray for him. We do appreciate the work and the prayers and the contributions of everybody in keeping the doors open and covering me when I haven't been 100%. I'm still not 100%, so I still appreciate all of your help and prayers, and for my wife as well. She has to put up with a lot, even before I took ill. Amen. Don't forget our missions. Francis Cosgrave's in Kenya at the moment with his family, to the best of my knowledge. Please also pray for the Kids for Schools organization. We are only supporting four children. They're up in the back and some of their details. And please also pray for the Christian Institute, because they're going to have their plates full in the very near future the way things are going. So they need every little bit of help. In fact, I was just saying to Monica, it's about time we took all that missions money and give it to the people that it's been kept for. I think there's about a year's gathered up. Not as much as previous years, simply because we haven't been here to put any in, but there's a few hundred pounds for each of them. Francis got money whenever he was here just over a year ago, which the Kids for Schools people didn't get, and neither did the Christian Institute. So we'll be writing a couple of checks in the very near future. maybe in the next day or two, and hopefully sorting them out. We're still thankful for the charity number in the church. We got that. Now I am coveting your prayers for dealing with Ebrington Presbyterian Church and the final purchasing of the land. Figures were wildly out compared to what they were expecting and what they said. So the Bible says the weapons of him, it's not a matter of turning up at his door and doing his knees with a baseball bat until he gives in to us. It's in the hearts and minds of people. So pray for, I think his name's Robin, and the Kirk Session and the rest of the folks in Ebrington, that they will be prepared to accept a substantially lower offer. Any thanks? Back's still getting better and better. My health's improving. My general strength and mobility is improving. Thanks again to Ling and Dr. Shang for all of their ministrations, some of which did bring a tear to my eye. But I'm glad of every single one of them, let me tell you. There was a few mornings whenever I was doing the exercises that I just had to sit for half an hour and wait until the pain gave over in my shoulder. I was working at that, and to Norman's TENS machine. I'll just thank the TENS machine in future, but thank Norman for the TENS machine as well. Anything else? Do we need to be praying about anything else? Do we need to be, are there any other issues we need to be thinking about? Our folks in America, Taylor, we don't know what's going on over there right now, but we have many loved ones over there. Please do pray for them. And as you know, Taylor, that was here for 3 weeks, she's over there now too. I'm sure Christy's calling upon the Lord for a lot. We ought to remember her as well. And Monica's folks and the Foxes and associated peoples that we have met over the years, the Haynes and the Asquiths, the churches that they and Pastor Seeley look after, and so many more men, they all need to be prayed for. These are difficult times. These are the most interesting, in quotes, times that men have seen for 100 or more years. So please do be much in prayer. Get out to church when you can. Read your Bible when you can. Pray constantly, the Lord said. Keep your eyes fixed on him. Tell him about everything. And when everybody else is running around like a headless chicken, you'll have peace in your heart, the peace that only God can give. I know there are many other things going on, private prayer requests. We're not looking for any details. The Lord knows what they are. And we will pray that the Lord give you direction, peace, and whatever else it is you need to have those things delivered or knocked on the head, whatever it is. So I think that's about that. Right, let's pray, and then we will sing another song. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for this opportunity to come into your presence. And Lord, we pray you, Lord, like Moses, whenever he prayed and spoke to you face to face, Lord, that even now that you would give us overcoming power and wisdom, that, Lord, this drawing closer to you would take us farther away from the thoughts and desires and the wiles of the world, Lord. I pray you'd be one of our number even yet, Lord. And for all the prayer requests we've brought before you, private prayer requests, Lord, for those that have been sick, for our absent brethren in the church, I pray you, Lord, please, you'd be with Esther and Pat and Steve and Carol and John as well. Carol's got a sore leg, Lord, and you know what it is. And I pray you, please, you just touch and heal that, along with Esther and Pat and Steve. Lord, I just want to remember our CD members, Stephen and Anne Marie and her dad. There's Carol and Harry and Marie. There's Norman and Joan. There's Jane and Corey. There's Anne and Eddie and their grandson Mason. Lord, there's Henry and Evelyn. There's Sally and Kate. And Lord, there's Alan Leslie and Pearl Hetherington. And we're not forgetting Maslam and Georgina either, Lord, and pray that you would just put your good hand upon them and upon their family at this time. Lord, there's so much going on. We pray for the leaders in our countries. Pray, Lord, that you would turn them the right way. You put a hook in their mouth and guide and direct them, Lord. And I pray, Father, please, that wicked men would be withstood at every turn. Please strengthen us, Lord. Please deliver to us comfort and peace and a clear direction. I pray you, Lord, please, that the wicked would fall upon their own swords and into their own traps. And Lord, we know it's not the last times, but it's coming up on them, Lord. And we know that the world does not have the full victory yet, Lord. And we can still call upon you and lean upon you. And I pray you that tonight, Lord. Please be there for us. I know you will be. It's always us that has the problems. Bless our time together, Father. Please minister to us, even through the rest of the singing and the bringing of your word. Look after Frank, Lord, as he travels and as he studies. Be with Christy as he studies and works, and especially with Taylor at this time too. We love you and thank you, Father. And we ask this, and of course, for all the other things that were not mentioned but are on the prayer list or in our hearts. We ask for them all, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Let's take a look at Skinny Books. I think we have a song picked in there. Hymn number 25, I believe it is. I am his and he is mine. I am his and he is mine. There we go. Hymn number 25. Put our hymn books away and take our books about him out. And if you're fit, let's join me in Luke chapter 10 this evening, if you'd like to. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, and I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of helping who? Helping who? Luke chapter 10, we're going to begin reading at verse number 25. These verses will be familiar to you. They'll not be in your Bible too long before you get through all the parables, and they'll soon become sort of like a byword to you. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse number 25. And we're reading through until verse number 37. Verse number 25 of Luke chapter 10, and the Word of God says this evening, and every evening you're reading Luke chapter 10 and verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself.' And he said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbour?' And Jesus answering said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side." I think I missed one there, sorry. "And by chance there came a priest and a Levite." Oh, there you go. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was the neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, 'He that showed mercy on him.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Go and do thou likewise.'" Amen. Verse number 29, the question that was posed to Jesus at the tail end of that verse, "And who is my neighbour?" That's our text for this evening, and we are going to spend a minute or two on the subject of helping who. Amen. Pray again. Christy, would you mind praying first, please, brother, if you would?
Prayer, thank you for this day, Lord, for every good gift that comes down. God, we thank you, Lord, for liberty, Lord, to come into your house, Lord, still in this land, freely, Lord, and Lord, more importantly, that, Lord, the privilege we have to pray anytime, anywhere, Lord, your ear will always be open to your children. Thank you for salvation, Lord, and we thank you just in advance here now of the message that the preacher's about to proclaim to us. We ask and pray to be with him, especially this hour, Lord, that you would guide him in his thoughts and his words, Lord. Please give heavenly wisdom, Lord, grant discernment amongst your children here, Lord, and those that will listen, Lord, later on and throughout the week. Ask and pray, Lord, that you'd accomplish your will through this message, Lord. Please work in each heart and each mind. Lord, be with our sister churches that's been together as well this evening. Lord, remember missionaries that's reaching out in the foreign land, Lord, and those that are reaching out locally as well, that you help them and provide for them, Lord, just to see souls saved, we pray. Strengthen your children, Lord. Draw back the backslidden, Lord. We pray for the sick, especially at this time, Lord. For Nana, for Pat and Steve, Lord, for Leonard and the care home too. For Carol, Lord, with her leg as well. Please intervene. Lord, remember the private prayer request, we pray. Be with our country's leaders and our lands, Lord. Mm-hmm. Please, Lord, just see your will through, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you, brother. All right. I'm sure we've all heard this parable like a dozen times. It is a favourite. It's one of those stories that's told in Sunday school to children when they're trying to teach children to be nice to people. But there's a little bit more to it than that, and I'd like to spend just a few minutes, first of all, having a look at the parable itself and a closer look at the details involved. As you know, this is every single parable will be told. You'll be told that it's a parable. If it's a real thing, it'll be Jesus will say there was a man, but it'll always say there's a parable, and it'll always give you the meaning to the parable. There are some in there that people say are parables, but aren't. Like Luke chapter 16 and the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus going to paradise, and of course the rich man going to hell. That is an actual story told by the only man that could tell it, the Son of God. But we're not speaking about that when I want to think on this one for a little bit of time. The parable begins with, or the piece of scripture begins with this man, this lawyer, a legalist, someone that was following the rules of the country, asking the Lord, what do you have to do to get to heaven? And the Lord said, what does the law say? And of course the law says to basically love the Lord with everything you have. That doesn't mean you just take everything you have and put it in a plate in the church, but your life should be consecrated, a living sacrifice to the Lord God Almighty. There shouldn't be any bits of your life that people can point to and say, well, you really shouldn't be doing that. You're letting God down when you do that. You should live for the Lord. And of course this verse of scripture finishes with loving your neighbour as yourself. And I have no idea. I'm sure that he was trying to trip the Lord up. Many times the lawyers were. We do know that some of them were genuine and wanted to feel Jesus out and to see if he was legit. But he asked, well, who is my neighbour? Who am I supposed to treat like this? And the Lord gave him a story that said, basically, and I'm cutting to the very end, but I'm going to go back. I'm buttering the bread, and then I'm going to go back for the meat and the cheese and the tomato. The Lord said, anybody that needs it, doesn't matter if they're someone that's diametrically opposed to you, if they really need your help, don't be afraid to lend a hand. So we get the story of this fella. And this story is not of a certain man that went on his travels. This is the story of every single soul that lives on the face of the earth. It says that he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it's always a bad idea to leave. Does anyone ever recall to mind a little verse of scripture? I love it. That the Lord said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chickens, and you would not. I have seen the wee chicks, they run around under their mother. They keep to her for heat regulation, for protection from predators, and from the rain and the elements too. But he went down. It's always a downward step when you step away from God. Jerusalem is a type of where God would have you to be, and everywhere else is a type of basically where God really doesn't want you to be. And sure enough, as this man went away from where God would have him to be, he fell among thieves. And you will, when you step away from God's will, you're going to come across people and circumstances, situations that are going to strive to take away what you have. They'll take your money, may even take your life. They'll steal your vitality if they can't steal your life, and they will steal the time that you have. They will leave you half dead. Technically, if you get to 35 years old in this world, you're half dead. You're half alive because you've got halfway through your 70. But they leave him half dead. And here we come to the people that come by. And on the one hand, it is a parable and it's a likeness of our lives, but the Lord is using the things that the people knew every day. And one of those things, especially when it comes to the saving of souls and the preaching of the cross, is the priest. Of course, in this case, representing false religion. The religion of the Jews that had deteriorated so awfully that one of the first things that Jesus did was made a whip of small cords and chased out all the money changers and the people selling animals in the temple. Things had gotten that bad in 400 years. So they weren't exactly a picture of godly men. In fact, Jesus says, whatever they say, do, but don't do what they do. Just do what they say. As long as if they're reading out of the Word of God, do it. But don't be looking to them for an example. Anyway, priest comes down and he has a look at him and he walks by on the other side. And this is always what false religion will do. False religion can't help a man that stands on the brink of eternity. And false religion can't save a man's soul. And false religion can't comfort a soul as they stand by a loved one that has stepped off into eternity. Only the true religion, pure and undefiled, that is the one that you receive when you ask and accept Christ as your Saviour, that can help you. False religion can't help anybody out there. They give you something to do and you can spin your wheels for a while or you can run your little legs off like a hamster in a cage, but you're not going to get anywhere. And so passed by on the other side. And then there came a Levite or a lawyer, a proponent of the law. And again, the laws of the land are no good to a man that has been left half dead by criminals. What use are the laws of the land? And again, the laws, all the things that people are supposed to do to try and save themselves, all the church rules that there aren't, they're no good. And so the law looked at this man lying half dead and walked by on the other side because he has no job to do. And then we have a Samaritan. And we go from looking at false religion and we go from looking at the law and we come to looking at the lowest of the low in the eyes of the Jews, the Samaritans, the half-breeds, the half-Jews, the ones that were a constant reminder to the Jewish people of their failings, of their disobedience to God's word. Marrying Egyptians, marrying Syrians, and having children that couldn't speak the Jewish language and didn't understand the Jews' faith. And he wasn't all bent out of shape about what religion he followed, and he wasn't all bent out of shape about what set of laws were in the land. He saw someone that needed help. He saw he didn't see his enemy getting their just deserts. He saw a soul in need of help. And the Bible records that the first thing he did was bind up his wounds, pouring in the oil and the wine, and then he transported him to a safe place. And there are so many Christian analogies that you can fit in there. And this is one of the things that the Lord will do for a soul that puts their faith in him. He'll bind up your wounds. It says that the whole way through the Old Testament. I think it even says it in Isaiah 53, that one we keep referring to. He will bind up your wounds. He will heal the wounds that the world will inflict upon you. Yeah, you might get it. You might end up with a scar and it might be tender for a while, but God will heal it if you let him. And the pouring in of the oil and the wine is the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And that's what needs to be poured into a man to allow the Lord to work on the inside. It's a little bit like putting antifreeze in your radiator. It's no good sitting on the bottle outside. It needs to be applied and it can work inside. Stopping your radiator from rusting and stopping it from freezing and making sure that your car runs without all the pipes busting and the engine exploding on those icily cold days of which we have had a few quite recently. When you accept Christ as your Saviour, he pours in the Holy Spirit. And after the Holy Spirit is put in there and the person develops a desire and a thirst to know a bit more about God, that's where the Word of God comes in. And I want you to remember a thing or two. In Romans 1, it says, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to anyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, to you and me, anyone that's not a Jew. And then he transported him away to a place that would look after him, and that's one of the reasons why we have church. So people can come and see other people. They can see Americans, they can see Chinese, they can see English, they can see Irish, they can see Northern Irish, they can see men and women. People just like themselves, listening, worshipping, praising, chatting, helping. And the last bit I like the bit where it says Jesus paid it all. Jesus gave the innkeeper a little bit of money. And he says, whatever else is owed, I'll pay up when you see me again. And there's going to come a day just for you and me where I know sometimes we could grind our teeth with the times that we've stretched out our hands and we have given and we have prayed and wept and grieved and mourned for people, and we're saying, Lord, all that time, all that money, all that effort was wasted, Lord, poured out in people that just were just there taking a hand out of us. So we're only going to be in heaven a moment or two and we'll laugh at it and we'll say, do you know what? It was worth it all. We're not stopping there, we're only starting. Now we do live in uncertain times. We definitely, is there anybody here that doesn't believe that? We live in crazy times, and the only thing that sort of keeps my head screwed on these days is the little verse of scripture where the Lord said to the disciples, do you guys not know? The prophets of old, they would have loved to have seen the things that you have seen. Even though it might seem a bit difficult for you at the time, they would have loved to have seen it. How many of us would have loved to have heard Jesus with our own ears? How many of us would have loved to have stood on the shore whilst Jesus preached out in the boat, or followed him up into the mountains and went on with him all day and had ourselves a tuna fish sandwich with the other 15 or 20,000 people that were getting there? How many of us would have loved that? Of course we would. And yet, they would have loved to have seen the things that we are seeing now. The fulfillment of so many of God's prophecies. We live in uncertain times. And we live in times just like the divisions of the religious people and the legalistic people and then just Joe Public. We live in those times. But there seems to be a great effort, not just recently, but for years and years, to draw a line between people and separate them out. There always seems to be an effort to do that. And you see, whenever you have people divided, there's money to be made, there's glory to be had, and there's power to be taken. And that has been going on for as long as there have been men and women. Black and white, English, non-English. Now it's maskers versus non-maskers, vaxxers versus anti-vaxxers. Someone with whom you don't agree on some other point about anything. Goodness, there's people I know would rather have a dog than a person. People would disagree over whether your car should be electric or whether this should be good old-fashioned petroleum, gasoline or diesel. Even the leaders that we vote for in this country, Protestant versus Catholic. And some other countries, those that vote Democrat versus those that vote Republican. And they don't actually realize. And this is a thing that has helped me greatly in all the years that I have been out tracking and preaching and talking to folks and helping. That God doesn't see black and white. He sees two lots of people. They're not black and white. They're not English and they're not foreign. They're not rich and poor. They're not men and women. They're saved and lost. We're all sinners. Just some saved sinners. Some lost sinners. And the world, the flesh and the devil, you know what, is getting great mileage at the moment out of setting us against each other. In fact, the Word of God says things will get bad and Christians' hearts grow cold. And Christians' hearts grow cold whenever they indulge them in sin. Because of iniquity, the Word of God says the hearts of many shall grow cold. And that's not talking about lost people. That's talking about saved people. People with the love of God in their hearts. People stop ministering to other people. And that's one of the reasons why, I don't know if you've ever noticed, that family is used so many times in the parables. Because those are supposed to be close bonds, and those are supposed to be the relationships that we have as Christians with each other. We're supposed to care about each other with a bond that goes deeper than just, oh, how are you and what's happening. Even though sometimes it's wearying, it's tiring, it's costly, it's heartbreaking. But the Word of God says, and the Spirit of God and the power of God provides, the Word of God says in Galatians, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due time we shall reap if we faint not. And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them of the household of faith. That's what the Word of God says. So regardless of whether you disagree, sometimes people have no notion of rising above themselves. But that's what the Holy Spirit gives us, and that's what the Word of God gives us, the ability to be better than what we were whenever we came to the foot of the cross. Not to be a better mathematician, but to be a better person. Not to be a better wrestler or soldier. Although, do you know what? I have found that those that will give Jesus his place in their lives will be better at those things. Give God his place and he will give you, with all the space that you have left in your life, exactly what you need if you'll let him prioritize. We're supposed to treat people right, friends. I'm going to tell you a story that I am not proud of, but whenever I was about 16 or 17 and walking home from Portadown College, it was a grammar school. The weather was a bit like what we had a week ago, ice on the ground. And there was a lady in the church that was a teacher in the school. I don't even remember her name. I remember she slipped and fell in the ice and I walked past. And I was a lost man, boy, if you like. And I never helped her. I've regretted that every day ever since. And ever since, any time anybody needs help, I will stop and help them. Not because I'm a Christian, but because they need help. Not just because they're beautiful people, or young people, or I can take advantage of them, but because they need help. And I'm happy to do it. And someone said, but I don't want to take up too much of your time. And what we forget a lot of the time is we've got the endless ages of eternity. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, even half an hour is going to be nothing. But it could mean the difference between heaven and hell for that person. Has anyone ever heard of the lepers? And I don't mean the things that sit behind cages and chase down antelope. Lepers is people with leprosy. It's a disease of the nerve endings that kills the feeling in the extremities, and people get injuries in the extremities, and basically because people don't know, that's why they talk about if you have diabetes, looking out for your fingers and toes. But the circulation dies off and the nerve endings die off, and people have awful deformities and can't feel the pain. And it was one of those diseases that it was so serious it got its own pages in the books of the law. Basically, God said through Moses to the children of Israel, keep them away from you. Remember Naaman the leper we mentioned a couple of times? A mighty man of valor, led the armies of Syria, was there for the king, but he was a leper. He had to live apart from his wife and his family. And he had to address his king from afar. He wasn't allowed to be a whole man. And oftentimes in the Word of God, it is an example of sin, how sin works. When you get too close to sin, it'll creep on to you. When you leave it there, it'll infect you. Sin, in fact. I want to show you what Jesus did. In Matthew 8, there was a leper came up to Jesus and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me whole. And Jesus reached down and touched him, and people were going, oh no! Doing one of those faces you would see on TV. He touched the leper! But what did it say in Isaiah 53? He came to take our infirmities and our illnesses on himself. And he said, I will, be thou clean. And off he went, go on and show the priest that you're clean. Remember the other Now that was in the three Gospels. There's another one that I thought was very good. It's in Luke 17. I just want to read it to you. It says, "It came to pass as he," that's Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee." Samaria, where the Samaritans lived, those people that were a constant reminder of the Jews' failings. Remember we spoke about them? "And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' These men's lives were over. They were waiting to die, inch by inch. And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go and show yourselves to the priests.' And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And he was a Samaritan. He was one of those bad guys, one of those embarrassing guys. And Jesus answered and said, "Well, there are not 10 of you guys cleansed. But where are the 9? And they were not found that returned to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole.'" No greater example of healing, no greater example of sin than the disease of leprosy. What about the adulteress that Jesus allowed to minister to him? Do you remember Mary, out of whom was cast 7 devils, that gave her all to the Lord, and the alabaster box full of spikenard, very costly, literally a year's wages, 20, 30, what is it these days, £40,000. And she cried her eyes out for joy and for the shame that she had for the way she had been, and washed his feet and dried with her hair and anointed him with this, with her dowry, if you like. What about the publicans that Jesus ate with? Remember, that was the big thing that the scribes and the Pharisees had about Jesus. He eats with publicans and sinners. Remember that? Remember Jesus said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that be sick." Even, goodness, even John the Baptist spoke to Roman soldiers. "Don't be talking to those filthy Romans. They give us nothing but a hard time. They'll take and beat you up for nothing but the crack." And John the Baptist warned them off about behaving properly. But I want for you to remember that Jesus wasn't there fellowship, and he wasn't there to receive strength and encouragement from lost souls. He was there to preach. He was there to testify. He was there to evangelize. And he was there to honor the God of heaven. He was there to point the way. He was always about God and his word the whole time. He was binding up and pouring in the oil and the wine. He didn't come away less godly when he met and ministered to people. People came away more godly, knowing that they had been in the presence of the Messiah. Forgiven, healed, even raised from the dead, made whole, demons cast out. Who else is going to do that but Jesus? But we need to watch. It's okay to go out, and it's okay to visit with people, and it's okay to have friends, if you know what I mean. But you need to make sure that your walk and your talk and your preaching and praising and the practicing of your faith doesn't suffer because of the people that you keep company with. I'm not talking about being elitists. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying, "Oh, I can't talk with you because you're not a Christian." These souls are depending upon you and me to be good Christians and to tell them about Jesus and to show them the wonderful things that he has done for us. Yes, we can show people the wounds that were killing us, that were bleeding us dry, but that the Lord fixed. But don't let the world, the flesh, and the devil evangelize you. You make sure you're the one doing the evangelizing. So, who is it you're supposed to evangelize with, and who is it you're supposed to speak to about the Lord? I've got a couple of readings, and then 2 lines, and then I'm done. Proverbs 25, This is actually, these are lines that were quoted by Jesus. He said, if thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward you. In other words, show those people that you're bigger than them, and show them some evidence of the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 43, this is what the Lord said. You've heard that it shall be said, thou shalt love thy neighbour and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which was in heaven, which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And some folks would say, well, does that mean I should give money to people that come up and ask me for it? And I would say, no, definitely not. You are the steward of all that you have. You are charged by God with every asset that you can lay your hands on, and it is up to you to make sure that it is used correctly. I'll give you an example. A guy came up and asked me for a pound for a cup of tea. And I said, I'm sorry, I'm not giving you a pound for a cup of tea, but I tell you what, let's go over to the bakery there and pick you a sandwich and a bun and I'll get you a cup of tea. And it cost £3 or £4. And he was able to sit down and eat that. It wasn't put into a bottle of whiskey and it wasn't spent on gambling or anything like that. I made sure that what I spent on him went to the proper use. If that gives you an idea. Or as a guy once said, I need a pound to travel to Strabane. Can you give me a pound for a ticket? I said, no. But I'll tell you what, I'll take you into the station and I'll buy you a ticket to Strabane. He said, no, I don't want that. What does the Bible say? As cunning as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Use your brain. Make sure that what you have gets used properly. And when it comes to telling people the gospel or reasoning for people's souls, it's everybody. It's the Prime Minister. It sits in number 10 Downing Street. It's the man that sits in the White House. It's the man or the woman that sleeps under the bridge. Everybody gets the gospel. No matter how attractive they are, or how ugly they are, how rich or how poor. Everyone that walks and talks in the face of this earth has a soul that needs to hear about the wonderful things that Jesus did for them, that did for you. And the only person that can tell them is you and me. Sometimes it seems tricky, and there's many a time I've had to say, Lord, Lord, with a wee bit of a quaver in my voice, Lord, I'm delivering this to you, I'm doing this for you, when all the money's gone. And in retrospect, I can see now that the souls that got the Bibles and the souls that got the help had every opportunity to come to the foot of the cross and chose not to, but not because I didn't give them every opportunity. These things can be tricky enough even when you're keeping your eyes on Jesus. You need to keep your eyes on him. You need to keep him by your side, or you keep by his side. And you need to keep trusting him and staying close to him. You need to keep praying, and you need to keep praising. You need to keep preaching, and you need to keep practicing the gospel. And you need to go to church. I think we were just having that bit of a discussion. Because this is where the brethren are. This is where you'll get a wee chivvy along. Or this is where you'll find that other set of hands. Because any workman will tell you when you're doing something, it's always handy to have an extra set of hands. So anyway, just stopping there. Thanking you for your good time. I'll take a closing hymn if anyone has a favourite, Ling or Christie. Everybody else got a shot. If you have got a favourite hymn that you would like for us all to sing, shout it out. Or Frank. Christy. Ling and Frank it is. Now you're not in school and it's not a test, okay? We're here to enjoy singing a wee song. What's that? 321. Where he leads, I'll follow. Is that it?
Yes.
We don't act, do you? It's not in the music machine. But I was actually sitting at that number in my book. Pardon? We know it. Let's stand and sing it. Mrs. Bradfield will play it. Amen. Sing up good and loud, because I've got the wrong glasses with me and it's a bit difficult making out the words unless I'm standing stock still. Thanks, Kristen.
Sweet are the promises, kind is the word, dearer than any man. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow, follow Jesus every day. The tender love Jesus has shown, sweeter far than any love that mortals have known. Kind to the erring one, faithful is he. He the great example is and pattern for me. Sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow every way. Where he leads, I'll follow.
Thank you for your good time. God bless you. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you for this little bit of time, for this time around your word, for the lifting up of the songs, for the tithes, the offerings, for the fellowship, Lord, for the encouragement, for the reminders. Lord, please be with each one of us as we go our certain individual ways. Please be with those that couldn't be here, that would love to be here. And I pray you, Father, please don't let us forget. Remind us constantly, Lord, of your word, of the way we need to be. Help us, Lord, to be a help in pointing souls to the foot of the cross and not away from it. We just love you, Lord, and thank you. Thank you for forgiving us and cleansing us and refreshing us. And we ask all this, our prayer requests to you and our private prayer requests and petitions, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands, tip elbows, toes. Pardon?
Were you warm?
Just a bit.